All right, welcome back to another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System. Now, this is not just your traditional podcast here. Usually it's just me and Joe, but we have added a local legend, soon to be international legend, the Flying Hawaiian, the proud owner of the handlebar mustache, a sex symbol in the volleyball world, the Micah Ma, is now part of the If You Can't Handle the Heat podcast. Micah, welcome on, my man.
Thank you, my brother. Thank you so much. Yeah, it's quite an introduction. I'm rocking the handlebar mustache right now.
Very well.
You know, just for the ladies. I'm going from the 50 to 70 year old range. That's what I'm trying to attract, that kind of range right now in my life. That's where I'm at. So
Micah actually has been, especially with Joe, because you guys are both international, you guys have been kind of in each other's ear talking about, like, I got it, like, let me join the podcast. And then we were debating, we should, like, okay, should we have him on once in a while just to tell these random crazy stories, or should we have him as a host, as someone that we could just kind of talk with? And we're like, you know, we talk with Micah pretty much every day. Why not just get him on as a freaking host and talk story and have some fun? Because we do have some wild stories for you guys.
No, 100%, yeah.
But he's here, and you just recently had the Tour of France in your local town, yeah.
Dude, so sick, yeah. So they came through, they finished, like, super close to where we practice, but the streets were closed, so I couldn't get to the finish, which I'm pretty upset about, because the sprint at the end of the stage was crazy. So I just caught them at the 5 kilometer mark. They had 5 kilometers left, and it was freaking so sick. Oh my god, these guys are booming.
How fast are they going,
man? Oh my gosh, I don't know. I didn't have my radar gun. I left it at home, actually. But man, fast. They were moving.
That's and every single guy was juicing.
Yeah, every and there's guy out so there was many of them. Like, you don't realize the size of this pack and like how close all of these riders are. It's so dangerous.
That's like a...
It's like when you see F1. They're so close. Any little movement or misjudgment ends up in just, like, disaster and, like, causes brutal injury to everybody involved. Especially in the, like... What is it? What's the... Like, the Peloton, I think, is the name of the group, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, I think so. But you've got to be... So, you've got to be a little bit off to bike 21 days.
Oh, like, that's with any Tour cardio. De France. That's with, man, any, like, cardio and, like,
oh
by
my
yourself.
Gosh. Like, yeah, 100%.
Like
that's how we play volleyball.
And swimmers, like, if you're not in a team event or something, and you're just like by yourself for like a long time, like, you see these documentaries on these people, and you see like a lot of these guys who are just like by themselves for a long time for long endurance races, and just you. I mean, biking, you are with a team, but it's not the same. You're on your own bike, and you get separated from your team. Like, you have something's off about you. Something's like rock climbing. You guys saw like what was that? Solo, free solo. Like, something's like off. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Did you see the Armstrong documentary?
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, yeah, these guys they're all a little bit, I mean, I can't even warm up without a ball. Like, if when we're doing warm-ups for practice, like, I'm bored within the first 2 minutes. Like, I need to just play a game and I'm ready to go.
Yeah, it's like once you're, I wonder, like, once you leave that life, once you leave the sporting event, like with biking or like you just did climb the hill, I wonder, like, you're probably egging to go back on just because that's, like, your life and, like, that's what interests you. And then that's, like, pretty much outside of that life, it's just kind of just, like you said, you're a little off, so it's not – something's not right about it. So that's just kind of interesting. It's very interesting to kind of get into the minds of those players when they do documentaries. But
in the documentary, though, so I want to – this kind of will tie into the volleyball world. You talk about Lance Armstrong. It was really interesting watching that and seeing how his life – transformed, especially post getting testing positive for those performance enhancement. And you look at how many people look up to him and stuff, and I think right now in the world, I just pulled up, Micah and I were talking about before the show, Kerry Walsh Jennings, the five-time Olympian, United States
beach
volleyball.
Five, yeah, which is,
I think it's
absolutely
five.
Insane.
And five-time Olympian, she became, she was very public this week speaking on her stance. And, you know, we talk about, you see all the time athletes who have a lot of influence on the youth and have a lot of impact on how little kids see the sport and see the way to train. And she came out and she was very open speaking on her feeling on masks and conforming to
what she said.
The rest of society. Basically, I have it up in front of me here. It's a really long post. In capital letters, she kind of finished off her post saying, "This has not been enforced. It's been consented to," in referencing mask wearing in like public places. And so, was like you go through right now, and there's about 6,000 to 7,000 comments on her
post.
Dude,
I'm looking at these, bro. They're just destroying her, like
every dude. Athletes, everybody, and. It's really, you know, you saw this week also Kirk Cousins, quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, American right. football team for those European listeners. He came out and basically said, he was on a podcast this week. It's called like 10 questions or something. And he came out and he had a really good statement and basically finished it off by saying, "If I die, I die."
And I think, all right. So for the carry thing, I want to kind of say something about it. So for the carry thing. Okay, you have your own, but like now you're risking other people's lives. Not smart by Carrie, whether it's, well, first of all, as a business move, and second of all, as just a personal move, because now you're affecting other people. Like that's not good. Like the mask isn't to yourself, but.
I want to play devil's advocate for you at the same time. I'm not on either side, because we got a lot of hate when we went to Alpaca, and I don't know, Mike, if you had faced anything this summer about anything you did, but when we went to Alpaca and we put ourselves definitely at risk. We kind of knew what we were risking. Yeah. But if you are, I think the consideration for other people is the most important thing. And
yeah.
Her post, I think she could have phrased a little better, because at the bottom, like, you need to have consideration for other people. But at the same time, I think other people need to also be able to listen to her and allow her to have her own mind. Like if everybody, I think that's the issue in the US. Everybody feels like that. They're right, and no matter, and nobody else can believe what they want to believe. I think that's the issue for me. Is on her post, I'm like, I'm going through, and some of the things that are being said to her, I'm like, all right, this is a little excessive. Like, I think for sure she could have worded it a little bit differently. If anybody wants to go read the whole thing, you go to her Instagram. It's from a couple days ago. But the thing for me is, I think especially in sports, like. I hate bringing politics into it and stuff, but at the same time, I realize that there's athletes who have a platform, and they should be able, like, everybody should be able to speak their mind, and everybody should be able to have a say, but I don't think attacking someone for speaking their own mind is the issue. Like, agreeing to disagree is 100% okay, in my opinion.
Yeah, and social media today is just such a hard place to have constructive dialogue with, well, publicly, I think. In a private matter, it's a lot easier when you get into the direct messages and you can actually converse and have meaningful conversations where both people are willing to listen. But you could post something about Beats headphones and somebody could come and just trash you in your comments for no apparent reason. But I like the Kirk Cousins quote.
Yeah, I love that.
Personally, I haven't really been afraid of the coronavirus.
I don't think any of us have. I wear a mask.
Yeah, I wear a mask out of respect for other people, but I don't have a problem with getting it. I'm not afraid of it. I think that there's been a lot of not true things being told about it.
Which
is super sad. And the numbers are just crazy. Like, I don't believe the numbers. I don't. And I know that, like, and people have, and they've fixed the numbers, and people haven't even, like, really pounced on that. But I don't think that the numbers are correct. I really don't.
Do you think they're being inflated, or what do you think?
I think they're being inflated. I've always thought that. And the issue is that you can't say that without becoming so many other things. Like, yeah. I can't say, like, oh, man, I think that these things... I'm still wearing my mask. I'm not being exactly. like a jerk out in public. Yeah. It doesn't mean that. And then that becomes being a Republican, and it comes with being a Trump supporter. Like, the list goes on, and it's just, we are so divided right now. It's insane. Yeah.
So you mentioned something really, really good. You can have your own opinion, but you have to still follow the law. Like you said, you're not being a jerk and not wearing a mask, right? Like, you can have, okay, I feel like, which you're 100% right. right? You can say, okay, I think these numbers are inflated. I don't think we should, but it's the law to wear the mask, and I'm helping other people by wearing a mask. Okay, you can disagree with that, but you still like have to do it. You still have to comply with that. And the Kirk Cousins comment about, I feel 100% the same way, and people gave him crap for that. But at the same time, he's not affecting anyone else.
Yeah,
he's still following the rules, and then but he still has a say on it. Like if I die, he's not saying, oh, if my kids die, then my kid. Like that's not what he's saying. Like he's saying, if I 100%. Die, I die. And that's just kind of how I don't know. People just pounce on it.
I feel the exact same way as Kurt. I think he put it perfectly.
Yeah.
But I know that it can get taken out of context, and just the "if I die, I die" quote comes out, and no one really is going to do the research behind it. People are just going to see a headline, and that's it.
Yeah.
In terms of the actual statistics and stuff, like I read about it a lot too. And you see what they classify like as a COVID death necessarily. I think literally somebody could have had like an illness for years, and if they contracted COVID at all, even if it wasn't even really related to a COVID death, like they rule it as a COVID. Like there's so much gray area, I think, right now in the
for
U.S.
Sure. And they're getting paid. Man, I should have done more research on this because people are gonna actually listen to my. But man, they're getting paid to like treat COVID patients, so if I'm running mm-hmm. a business, I'm gonna say that I have COVID patients. Like they're getting paid a lot of money, so yeah, I don't see the downfall of saying like somebody with COVID but also just had a heart attack, we're gonna go ahead and say that that's COVID.
Yeah,
so yeah, I mean, don't know, man.
No, it's a really tough conversation because I mean it's this. You talk about
it's
right now.
People have died from it.
Yeah.
And so always with that, it's like terrible because people are experiencing loss and all that kind of stuff. But also there's a lot of other things that are going on that are a result. I think I saw nobody needs to quote me on any facts. We need like a Joe Rogan fact checker. You know
Jamie,
how
we need a Jamie.
We need a Jamie. Because we're going to say some ridiculous things. And a lot of it's not going to be right. But I saw that the suicide rate for high school kids had passed the amount of high school kids that have died from coronavirus.
Jeez.
And that's pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
But high school kids aren't really just like, man, the numbers are like all above like 99%. And like the people that are struggling they have underlying conditions. And so I think we need to open things up. We need to be not afraid. We can't live our lives in fear. Mm-hmm. And then we need to take care of those who are at risk and be like, hey, don't go into an old folks home without a mask. Like if you have underlying conditions at this point, the whole world has made an enormous amount of sacrifices to make sure you're alive selflessly. And so now I think selflessly you need to be like, okay, if I'm really at risk, I need to be smart about my movements and not make the whole world shut down, because a lot of people aren't as much at risk as I think they're saying.
100%.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, no, the biggest issue is with that. I think that when people come out and speak is the hysteria that is caused from the media and stuff. I think that's the biggest issue. I think the media creates way more issues than there needs to be.
100%. The media is wow.
So, Micah, I mean, as you know, I'm in Hawaii. We've been serving pretty much now they extended it. So it's a month stay at home mandatory thing, right? Because the rates kept going up. And I knew once Hawaii started getting hit, because the amount of elderly people in Hawaii is very, very high. And it's not that big of an island, so it's going to spread quick, and they're very close contact with each other. So do you think that Hawaii, by shutting everything down, you think that's a good idea? We're not going to be doing anything anytime soon. So what's your kind of opinion on that one?
Oh, gosh, that's a good question. I don't think anywhere anymore should be shut down, because I don't see there's a vaccine coming.
That's the next question.
Would you guys take the vaccine?
I had a huge conversation with my dad and my family about this. Okay, you know how much, you know how long regular vaccine, normal vaccines take?
The fastest one was like 4.5 years.
The fastest ever, I don't remember which one was 4.5 years. Now they're rushing it. Okay, Corona just kind of became prominent, what, last December? So maybe, all right, give them a year. Let's say they started a year ago in China. Yeah. Say something comes out in November, which some people are predicting. 11 months in the fastest one ever to come out was four and a half years before. You have no idea what's.
But no one. But no other time has everybody stopped their lives too.
That's true, and they're dumping billions of dollars. Literally, everyone's doing it. Everyone's looking into it. But Joe, let's give a little background.
Oh, it's such a race.
Let's give a background though.
Really quickly, I wanted to drop this number for you, Yogesh. I pull up the CDC numbers. Between the ages of 15 to 24 years old, there's been a total of 300 deaths in the U.S.
Yeah, but they're not worried about us getting dead. COVID. They're worrying about spreading it to other people. Joe, that's not the
100%.
Right. And what is the numbers for, like, say, total? 50 to 70. The other hard part is looking at these numbers. It's like, I don't even know what to take of them.
Yeah. These are a CDC. Exactly. So these, you don't know where these numbers are coming from, but the CDC said 55 to 64 is 21,000, and then 65 to 74 is 36,000 deaths. Which, if you look, I mean,
what?
No, that's United States. That's okay. Just the U.S.
Okay.
I want to know how many of those. Didn't they say they took like the numbers of only coronavirus cases in Florida? Like, you died just from coronavirus, and it was like astoundingly low compared to like 100-something thousand that they had before.
They have a whole bunch of statistics
somewhere, but I did the whole thing of just looking at it and being like, okay, I'll take that as a fact, and I'll just kind of move on with my life and use it when I need it.
I mean, that's just anything. Like you see something on Instagram, you send it to your friends, you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
And you have no idea. Like, Uber facts, who the hell knows what how true that stuff is.
100%.
That's just their lies.
So the reason we had this conversation, Joe, you said we had a conversation of the corona thing, and I have two things I want to say about that. Is the first thing, so we have a guy, one of our pretty much our ex, our last high school volleyball coach. He's part of organization he's part of, company?
I don't know. I forgot.
Huge. He's one of the big guys. He's got billions of dollars something in his company. Working on the coronavirus, and he was stating, he's like, okay, we're like, okay, realistically, this is when we were back in California, we're like, realistically, when's the nearest time we can actually get the cure? He's like, it's like, people are going to try and pump it out by around December, January, and he's like, dude, I am not taking that thing, are you crazy? Like, and he's the one, working really? On it, and
yeah.
then,
yeah,
and but... then, so we ask him, we're Jeez. Like, okay, so when's the next time that we, and I want to kind of say something after this. When's the next time that we – when's a good cure going to come out? When's a good corona thing going to come out? Because they have to the biggest thing that takes the longest is the testing groups. They have to go through testing groups, regroup it. And the testing, it's not like I can go out and test people, right? It's months of testing, like how they do throughout
the
months.
Right, and you don't know you don't know what's going to come. A year later, the guy's
got
5 feet.
And then we're like, when's the best one going to come out? He's like, a good one that I could trust will come out end of next year, end of 2021. We're like, crap. But then that brings up the question is, you guys are fine. Well, not fine, but you guys are better in Europe. You guys got your stuff together more in Europe because you guys you guys are doing a lot more stuff than we are. I'm stuck at home all the time. But then what did they say? What did the NCAA say is they came out with something in December, right? If they say you cannot play unless you take this, what would you do? For me, I would take it. I'm here to play. You know what I'm saying? Would you not take it?
Oh wow, that's coming down to like
a pride
thing right there for me.
If that were to happen, I think
sued
that. Who? Yeah, no, there would be a lot of issues with that from athletes. Athletes
pushback.
Yeah, athletes legally there would be a lot of issues with that. Okay, imagine how
like
liable
a sketchy vaccine that's like not truly tested, forcing people to take it.
Okay, so when can they start implementing that then? Because they're eventually gonna have to be like, you have to take this vaccine. Like, everyone's gonna have to do it.
No, I don't think that should be a thing. You shouldn't have if you are afraid and you choose to take the vaccine, that should be your choice. Because if you take the vaccine, you have underlying conditions, you take the vaccine, wouldn't you be protected? Whether I get it or not shouldn't matter to you anymore.
Yeah, so that was my
right?
Answer. Yeah, 100%.
Because I don't get the vaccine, I get coronavirus. That's
exactly
on me.
100%.
But I can't give it anymore to my grandma or my grandfather who's like, because they take the vaccine. So we'd be fine, right?
Right. Right, and 100%.
Yeah, so you shouldn't make everybody take it.
No, I'm saying if you're competing the NCAA though, then maybe like you have to like, cuz that's the that's the only
way.
But
why would you have to?
Because I don't know, I was thinking about how else do you get the season started? How else do you be like,
you just,
okay, it's safe
you play.
To go?
No, you just play, and if the person takes that risk upon themselves and they take it, but people that are worried about it would have the vaccine and be okay.
Oh, so they'd be like, okay. So I think it would be something like the NCAA would be like, we highly suggest, because if cases go up, and then coaches would pretty much behind closed doors be like, yo, it's mandatory. Go get your ass to the health services or whatever and take this thing. And then I'd probably have to take
yeah.
it. So
yeah,
you guys would
be one of those.
You guys are way more safe than I am with the whole vaccine.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's a really
good
point.
I think professional clubs, to be honest, could be more demanding, or they could be like, you get this or not, or your contract's cut. It with universities, you have to be really careful with
yeah,
that stuff, because
true.
You could run into a lot of
yeah,
issues.
Yeah, you have to abide by the
like professional clubs over here in Europe. I could feel like it'd be like, yeah, you're taking this no matter what, and you don't really have a say.
Yeah.
Okay.
100%. That's a good point too.
So
yeah, they'd be willing to let you go a little bit easier than a college. That, and especially in America, man, things just don't fly as much. Like,
yeah,
if that happens, someone's gonna do something and start a petition, or like, you know what I mean? Like, people just do that kind of stuff there. And in Europe, it's a little bit more like, oh, okay, that sucks. I'll go figure out my life.
So now that I want to kind of shift, let's talk a little more volley here. Now that we're on the subject of clubs and whatnot,
sure.
Joe, you wanted to bring up a good topic before our podcast.
Yeah.
I'll let him introduce it here.
Mike and I, we talk a lot about this actually, especially with the club that he's currently at in Poitiers. Did I pronounce that right? How do you pronounce that? Poitiers. My French.
It's like P-W-A, like Poitiers.
Poitiers. Okay.
Poitiers.
French lessons.
Yeah,
Poitiers.
Well, hey, don't take it from me, man. That's my translation of it.
Okay. So Poitiers, where Mike is playing right now. I'll let him in a second explain where they finished in the league and stuff. But we get talking a lot because I felt like also at UH, relatively speaking, compared to schools like UCLA or USC or Stanford or those Power 5 conference team, Power 5 schools, I kind of felt like the same thing. And also growing up just on some club teams I played in, because we grew up playing in like kind of like a shack, almost like a box gym. And I just we talk about how like those teams who train in those kind of like tough environments where it's like really hot, really, or it's really cold, and they don't have like all the nice resources and the buffets and the unlimited access to any medical supply, all that
basically,
type of stuff.
We didn't see it. Like, we saw you guys pretty much as a silver spoon kind of program.
And well,
for sure.
And now, Micah,
and you're right.
And Micah talks to me about his time now at Poitiers. Poitiers. and we talk about like he's kind of he's in that sort of boat. Like their team is like, in terms of like budget wise, you guys are kind of like middle of the pack, yeah. And so you guys don't have like all the necessities maybe like the top teams such as like Chalmont or Tour maybe have. And so you like really enjoy that kind of like underdog mentality. Is that right?
Super, super right. Yeah. I mean, the way I grew up, you guys kind of know, pretty simple. My dad was like always on us about money and stuff like. For example, like if you won a state championship, your celebration was always a $1 ice cream cone.
Yeah.
At McDonald's. That was our like, and that meant the world to us. We didn't go out to eat. We didn't do a lot of that stuff. And also like my club team, my volleyball team was really that way. Like I was the tallest on the team at 6'2" in 18s. Like
Evan wasn't?
We just, no, I'm still the tallest. Like I was the tallest 18s and. Man, I loved being the underdog. Like, and people would see our team and just never, ever, ever expect us to be able to, like,
no
win.
Way, like, no way.
I am dead serious.
You won, like, six titles, seven titles.
Man, I am dead serious.
What do you mean no one expects you guys to win?
Gage, I was the tallest on our team, and we'd go up against Giants. We'd warm up, and we would barely even hit. Like, we had no arms. We, like, would hit deep. We were just a super, super,
okay.
Like, under the radar. We did well. We were a really good team. But we are not a team that people look at and on paper be like, wow, that team's good. In fact, we used to put our heights. You know how everyone would put them up? We would put them down. Like, I'd put like five, seven. I swear. We would do that all the time. We'd have it like everyone. We'd show up and people would be like, oh, they're taller than we thought. And we're like, yeah. Like putting like 5'5", 5'6". We just loved like being unassuming, being super underdog. And then at UCLA, that all obviously turned around, and I really didn't like it. Didn't feel at home. So now being in Poitiers, I feel way more at home. I love that. Like, if you're hurt on Monday, you have to wait till Tuesday. Like, we just got ice. Like, we've been practicing
a month.
I've been here since August 5th, and we just got ice. We didn't have cars for like a month, so we just had the carpool. Like, our coach would pick us up to go to practice and weights, and like that kind of stuff. I love. Like, it just makes me feel at home, and
creates great stories.
Because that
it does, man. It really does.
I mean, at UCLA, like you were saying, like, you guys walk in the gym, everybody's just like, F those guys. Like, no, dude, no, it doesn't matter what you guys did. It's just like, F those
100%.
Guys.
And I didn't realize that until, like, my senior year, because you know how I am. I'm just like, I'm cool with everybody. Like, what's up, everybody? And I don't really, like, look into, like, oh, you don't like us? Like, because I don't feel that way about any team, like, that I've ever played. Like, I just don't not like people. I don't know why. Like, I don't have any teams I'm like, I don't like that team.
Really?
I'm just like,
even BYU?
None. Dude, I have nothing. It's like, I don't, like, who's someone you don't like? I can't.
Not even the USC fan? Not even the USC fans?
Hey. Micah.
So what a segue. Wow, that was.
Got in a fight. Okay, I'm like, I'm gonna let you
not a fight.
Full story. You tell the full story here. I've been wanting to hear this. I was gonna bring this up.
Wow, the full story is going out. We're gonna get into it.
We have to
keep some things a little bit under wraps, but I'll be as open and honest as
for
I can.
For legal reasons.
Really?
Yeah, I'm actually serious about that. Yeah.
Okay.
But and you know how I am, but I just I already had gotten into some trouble a little bit after that, so I had to kind of put it on lockdown a little bit. But yeah, the USC scenario, you can fire away, and I'll try my best to give everything.
All right, so I think I know what happened. I'm gonna. You can answer yes or no, but or kind of. So pretty much.
We were coming out of. I remember coming out of practice because UCLA, like the way for us at Hawaii, we only play on the weekends, and UCLA and the MPSF, they would play a lot of like weekday matches. So a lot of the days we'd come out like on a Wednesday. And we'd come and, like, watch your guys' matches, like, in the locker room. So I remember coming out, and then I'm just seeing Twitter kind of go up, like, all these videos and tweets going off about Micah fought a fan, like, all this random stuff. So the first thing I do is, like, go to Volumetrics, and it hadn't been uploaded. Later that night, finally got uploaded, and I was trying to go find, like, anything before
that's
I called
the most, the most NCAA players have all ever, like, been on Volumetrics.
Yeah.
Everybody I knew was like, man, I was on Volumetrics hitting refresh. Like, the system probably almost overflowed. What is it? Overloaded.
What was it exactly? I remember you telling me you don't remember any. Was the context of what he was saying to you throughout the match?
Man, people were saying that he was saying stuff. I didn't even hear. I mean, I knew he was talking the whole time.
So what pissed you off then? Like, what made you so mad?
What got to me was, I knew he was talking the whole time. He's right there courtside, and I'm cool with that. We're down 13-12, I want to say, maybe. I'm not even sure, but I went back to serve.
In the fifth set.
Yeah, fifth set. I went back to serve, and I was like, hey, guys, keep me on the line. We're going to win this thing. And so I hit a serve as hard as I can, and it's like an inch from hitting the freaking screen. When you know the thing, like the big screen that's above the net?
Right.
It's like an inch from hitting it. and it doesn't hit it. And, you know, you're wishing the whole time, like, please hit it, please hit it, because it's out, it's a point. And so it doesn't, and it comes over, and our libero and our middle blocker both, like, go for it and then fake each other out, and the ball drops in the middle of the court. And so I'm upset. I mean, we've already had – it was actually a heated game because I never really talked to anybody. But they were talking to Dylan a little bit, saying some stuff, and I was like, hey, why are you talking to this guy for? So that kind of got me heated. That kind of got me heated, and you know when – I have this rule where it's like I'll never punch first, but if you, like – if you flick me
– Is that a rule?
If you flick – This is how I actually – you can ask people that have seen it. If you, like – I'll never come first, but if I come second, I get to go as hard as I want because you broke this. I have that rule. It's like people are like, you totally, like, overreact. Like, they could, like, flick me, and if – not my friends, but if somebody, like, slaps you, I think you have the right to just knock them out.
Because
it's like, why are you breaking the peace? We're cool.
I agree with that.
Like, you should be – don't do that. So
like, some guy sacked out.
You want my piece, 50 Cent? It's a great quote from Transformers. Sorry, continue.
But, yeah, so I was upset, and that happened, and it's at USC, and it's our last game. Oh, and then the ball somehow rolls over to this guy, so I go and get it, and he gets in my face. He gets in my face, and he's like, hey, I don't even remember what he was saying. But I just told him, hey, I said, hey, stay right here. I'm going to come talk to you right after this game. Stay right here. and so they served, and I think it was an ace, maybe. I don't know. The ball didn't come to me. I wasn't focused. I watched the volumetrics, actually. I'm talking while they're serving. I'm pointing at him. I'm talking to him. I'm like, hey, I'm going to come find you. Stay right here. Meanwhile, my dad had already seen the thing. My family was there, one of the few games they're there at. So they were behind the guy, and – yeah, we got into a little scuffle. But when I went over there, I'm not stupid. I'm not gonna touch this guy. I'm just telling him, hey, you got a problem with me? Let's go outside. We can figure this out. I'm not gonna do it right here. I'm not stupid. I got a UCLA jersey on. I'm in front of a lot of people. And then it just became a huge shoving war. Like, I didn't even shove anybody, but my teammates were in there trying to get me out, and they were shoving them. And I was like, I didn't even push anyone. So I got out of there, and then I got back in there when I saw somebody have, like, I think somebody had their hand on my dad, and he had gotten them off, and he had gotten upset at him. And I realized when I went back to the film, it was a security guard that had the hand on my dad.
Oh, God.
And I thought it was, but I didn't see that. I just saw him pull away and, like, come at somebody. And so obviously if you're going to touch someone in my family, then I'm going to be back in there. So.
Yeah. Run it back.
Funny story. Oh gosh, this is where it gets a little dangerous about disclosing some information. But
that's what we like, baby.
I sat next to the guy that was the fan that started it randomly at a restaurant, and he's like, "Hey, man, like, I'd like to talk to you." And I'm like, "Oh, cool." And I didn't recognize him, and he's like, "Yeah, I was that guy." So we squashed things. I said, hey, you're good, man. I'm sure it was just heat of the moment. I'm over it. It's not a big problem. And then there was another guy who I couldn't get to that guy because everyone was around that guy, and he had a friend who's a, and so I've been friends with this guy now for a while, and I've been playing a lot of beach with him, and I'm at the Dodd's house, Mike Dodd, and I'm at their house. And we're sitting around the fire, and this guy goes, "Hey, man, I think you might have punched me." And I'm like, "What?" He's like, "I think you might have punched me in the face." And I was like, "No, man, it's not me. I don't know what you're talking. Like, I don't go around doing that." And he's like, "No, I think it's you." But he's like, "Man, because we're super good friends. He's the nicest guy." And he bring it up to me like after like 10 times of hanging out, playing on the same team. Like it was a really. And I was like, "I am so sorry, man. That was you." So, but yeah, long story short.
So
that was. What's gonna pull people into this podcast? That's the punchline right there. No pun intended.
If you can't handle the feet, you can't handle the heat.
Did you just say if you can't handle the feet?
Feet.
Yeah. If you can't handle the feet.
If you can't handle the feet, then get out the kitchen.
If you want pictures of my feet, come in the kitchen.
100%. You know. you brought up.
Oh, yeah, that was a long. That was a long.
No, that was good.
Go ahead and take over.
No, I think a lot of people are interested. I don't think a lot of people know what happened there, so I gave him a little behind the scenes. It's good. It came from you too, so it's not like it's not that.
Yeah, it's straight from the source.
It's not hearsay. It's not hearsay.
I'm sweating a little bit. I don't know what I don't know what's gonna happen because of this.
We're not that big, Micah. You can calm down. We're not that big.
No, because I got in some big trouble from that, man. I got in some big trouble. Rightfully like, so. Rightfully so. But
I don't know. Rightfully.
You're done
so.
Now, though. It doesn't matter. You're out of the country.
Done.
You're out of the country too. So,
dude, that's done, but that's, is that like a? Oh dude, well, it did or it did not dude, happen. I can neither dude, confirm nor deny. But
that's like a classic SoCal story. Like, oh, I'm gonna get my lawyers or something involved. Like, dude, in Hawaii that would have never happened. You guys probably would have scrapped, to be honest. Unless your friends broke you up.
100%.
Well, yeah, in Hawaii, that would have never happened.
Dude, like, 100%.
That would never have happened.
We had fans. For sure. We had some, we had Long Beach when they came for Big West Tournament. One of their dads was getting out of control. Mm-hmm. And I remember afterwards, a bunch of locals coming down to me. They're like, hey, like, we're going to go find that dad out in the parking lot. And they're, apparently the whole, like, some aunties are telling me, like, the whole time these, like, these guys, this group from West Side was there screaming the whole time, hey, we'll see you in the parking lot. We'll see the whole game. They're just yelling down to him. And I'm like, dude, I would, when I'm in Hawaii, if I was like an opposing fan, I would watch my back, man. Cause
man, for sure. It's not a joke sometimes. My girlfriend has to remind me, like, hey, we don't do things that way over here.
Sweetie.
You just need to be careful. Because I was at a gas station one of the first times I'm hanging out with Zana. And I'm waiting for to fill up my tire. And there's, like, a long line. And some guy comes in blasting music, cuts the whole line, and, like, is honking at people. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't like when people just, like, I feel like a responsibility to keep the peace, and I know it's not my responsibility, but, like, if you're going to come in and have no aloha, then I'm going to show you what aloha is in a different way. So I went up to him, and I got out of the car, and she's like, oh, my God, what are you? And I got up in his face, and I was like, hey, man, that's not cool, man. These other people are – I wasn't next in line. But I was like, hey, these other people are waiting for you.
So,
and they've been waiting this whole time. So I yanked the thing out of his hand, and he drove away, and – so that was that. But yeah, we just, it's not okay to do those kinds of things in Hawaii, you know, like, I mean, there's stuff that goes on, but it's just a little bit more, if something happens, I don't know. There's just more respect maybe.
Right.
You're going to see that person again. Maybe that's the thing too. Like your families know each other or in California, it's like, I'll never see you again. I'm going to treat you however I want and you can't do anything about it.
Right.
100%.
So you know, I don't know. Yeah, it's different.
Gage, yep. I want to go back a couple minutes ago because I had written something down because we talked about how we grew up a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I think I don't know, Mike. You would know better because you've been around our dad more than we've been around your dad. But I think we've had similar experiences in terms of how our fathers have disciplined us. And raised us.
For sure.
And there's a meme, one of my favorite memes of all time. I remember sending it to Gage, and we just were laughing so hard. I forgot what the picture was, but I just remember the caption was, my parents are the type that if you go have fun on Friday night, you don't get to have fun the rest of the weekend. And
that's true.
That's exactly how it was. Like, if you knew that if you're going to go do something, then the rest of the weekend, you're asked to just work in the rest of the weekend. But what about, would you say, because for us, I know for sure, like our dad was super tough on us because he's our coach, just like yours, both on the court and off the court. He's just like tough. Yeah. What about
the coach never turns off?
What do you think about like the way you were raised makes it like easy for you to adapt like living over here? Because I found it like for me, it was way easier to adapt living over here than like a lot of people. Do you think like the way you were raised at all had or played into that? Because I know for you, you said it was pretty easy as well.
Oh, super easy. No, 100%. Man, I seriously think about the way I was raised every single day. It's probably like one of the things I think about the most, honestly. Just how grateful I am for my dad, my mom. Like the way I was raised, I'm so grateful for. I'm not saying it was perfect. But I'm just really grateful for it. For so many different reasons. But I'm sure you guys are the same.
I have
for
a,
sure.
Joe, I have a hot
There's
take.
There's sometimes...
Sorry. All right. Let me have a hot take. So do you feel people who have... I mean, this might not be a hot take. And this goes for you too, Micah. Sorry for cutting you off, Joe. But if do you feel that if you are raised... And I'm going to be honest, a lot of Southern California kids are like this. If you in Northern California, like the Bay Area is very wealthy too. So if you feel if you've raised with a silver – and Micah, you've seen it firsthand more than us. If you've been raised with a silver spoon in your mouth, like a lot of – like I've seen a lot of Southern California kids, right? They go – unless they're not like top of the top, but they're still pretty good. They go overseas and they don't enjoy life because now they don't have all that what they had back in there and now they're by themselves and all this other stuff. Do you feel like that plays a huge role into how well you do into pro volleyball?
Yeah, man. Yeah, if you're not happy and you can't – yeah, 100%. You got to be happy in life in general. I knew that my transition from Hawaii to L.A., when I did that, I knew that that was going to be the hardest transition I've ever had in terms of moving places. I knew that after that I'd be able to go anywhere I wanted. And so people would kind of warn me like, hey, man, going overseas is really hard. And in the back of my head, I was like, man, going overseas is going to be a breeze. And it has been.
Yeah.
It is so much. Where I'm at right now is so much more. Has so much more in common with Hawaii than L.A. And so much more in common with the way I was raised than L.A. It's like night and day.
Right.
So UCLA was, man, I wouldn't change a thing about it because – I don't know. Somebody asked me the other day, like, if you could change one thing about college, what would you change? And I was like, I wouldn't change a thing. I mean, everything has to happen. And you never know when you change one thing what that leads to and stuff
no
like
regrets.
That.
No regrets.
100%. Not trying to be like some guru like.
No. I'm with you on
Hargitay,
that. I'm with you on that.
I just don't ever go like, oh, I wish I did. Everything happened for a reason. Like, for example, people like can say like, oh, I wish I hit that green light instead of that red light. And it's like, okay, you hit the green light and a car runs a red and you die. It's like you have no idea what can happen. Careful what you wish for. Just take what you got and make the best of it. That, long story short, sorry, I don't know how I got there. But, yeah, coming to France was super, super easy. Going to L.A. was super hard for me.
Yeah,
for a lot of different reasons, but it was super hard for me, and I enjoyed my time there, and it was amazing, but it was a lot of adjustments to be made, I guess.
100%. They engage, I think, just like a broad or more of a vague answer. I think 100, I've seen it so many times already that over here, the guys, because that's why like the Eastern Europeans, you see like those guys that we play with, they're raised in a really similar way. Like, they always, a lot of them, they have, like, really tough parents on them, really hard on them, and then it's really easy for them to go move out of the country and live in whichever conditions they're given. And here, you see Americans struggle the most, obviously, especially, like you said, the guys who, growing up, they...
Pampered.
And they just had, like, really nice conditions all the time, and they go to schools like UCLA or USC or... Stanford or whatever, like really schools with a lot of resources, and if you're not like one of the elite players at one of the elite clubs here in Europe, why it can be tough because like Micah said, like even for his club right now where he's like starting off at is they like just got ice for crying out loud. Like at UCLA they have like 6 to 10 probably.
Oh, yeah.
Different kind of ice tub. Smirnoff ice.
We've got cubed ice, circled ice, we got
diced up
pink ice.
Crushed ice is the best. Oh yes,
like the different colors. They got different colors.
Chick-fil-A.
So like stuff like that. I think stuff like that. You know, we'll probably make some sort of like video about for our page, just the difference between like the student athlete lifestyle. Like when even at the smaller schools, I think in men's volleyball. You still are like the resources you have. You can't even compare it to.
Oh my gosh!
Most clubs,
man.
Over here.
Yeah, you. Oh, it's night and day. Like the worst university, not even the worst. I don't even mean to say that, but like the university with the least amount of resources, is like is like the Ritz-Carlton for a lot of these European clubs. Like, I don't like our trainers come on Tuesdays and Thursdays, so it's like if you're hurt like Friday, if you roll your ankle, you get nothing until Tuesday.
Wow.
Like I've been lucky to not be injured. My take on it would be a little bit different if I have been injured, but like I still love the fact that like it's just that roots, that like grounded, that like I don't know, you don't have it all, and it's super nice.
For sure. And I know for you, like, it kind of takes you back to when you were younger, and just from knowing like the guys you played with and especially like the place coming from Hawaii, like you're always aware of like where you came from and what's important to you, and not getting too far ahead of yourself, because people humble you really quickly, whether it's your family or your extended family. I know for sure that you get humbled really quick if you get too far ahead of you. And so I think it was good though for you to experience that at UCLA, to kind of see.
Oh, it was necessary.
But
man, was it something. UCLA is, and like not to bring politics back into this, but it's a very central like hub for like Democrats or liberals. And I don't like, for example, I majored in political science, and when I went to, I wrote this down the other day, I was writing down my feelings about politics because there's so much of it going on. And like when I went to UCLA, I didn't know what a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal even was. Like in my first class, I asked someone next to me, like, hey, what's the difference between a Democrat and a liberal? Because like they seem super similar. And he was like, what are you talking about? Like, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from Hawaii. And he's like, dude, there's only two parties, Democrats and Republicans, and Democrats also are called liberals. And I was like, what? And I don't even know if that's right. Like, I don't even know if they're different or not still. But my point is that it kind of was a lot of like a lot of complaining, a lot of like victimhood stuff. And I was just trained never to like, you can never have the mindset of a victim no matter what. Like, it just isn't productive.
That pisses me off so much.
It just isn't productive. It's like nobody. When you study successful people, they all say take responsibility for your actions, like don't blame your situation, or like I don't know. And there was a lot of that going on there, and that was also hard to like the culture. Hawaii is a very liberal, democratic place too. But my parents aren't political, but just the culture that I was raised from my dad and the culture that I got thrown into at UCLA, where it's like privileged and a lot of victimhood and all that kind of stuff, was just like polar opposites.
I hate it. We're gonna kind of wrap up, but before we wrap up here, I want to give a big shout out to Tori Howdeshell. Hopefully I didn't butcher that name. She sent us this phenomenal poster from Out of System. Sent us cards, Gage, Max, Joe, Ratto, soon Micah, with a great message on the back. Thank you so much, Tori. This just arrived in my mail. It'll be going up in the room. And for those of you wondering why I have cast in my arms, I was in North Shore, and I turned around a corner on my moped. I was wearing a helmet, and I totally ate it. Like shreds of skin is off. Like, half my hand is just completely red. And I have wraps all over my body. But I'm good. I have pictures I've uploaded out of system. You guys can see.
In Gage's words, it was, in quotation marks, worth it.
Oh, for sure. Worth it. Dude, for sure. I don't regret. I texted my teammates. I texted pictures of them. I was like, guys, I just full sent it. I just effing set the bar. Match me. So until someone matches me, I'm kind of on top right now. But Micah, how did you enjoy your first episode with the Out of System crew? Or how do you enjoy joining us?
Super fun. I feel like we could talk forever, and I hope that we didn't go on too many like random, because I know that I talked a lot for a lot of this.
Nah.
People aren't here to see me. People are here to see the Out of System guys.
Well, you're part of the Out of System guys now. Come on, Micah.
I know, but you've established a community. And so I hope I didn't just take us everywhere and not actually hit anything important. So hopefully they enjoyed it.
It was only things of importance today.
And last thing for you, Micah, you have just dropped a music video for your song tomorrow.
yeah, I did.
You gotta plug. Yeah. You got your plug here. Plug the people.
Yeah, I have a music video. It's on YouTube. It's called Tomorrow by Kama, K-A-M-A. The song's been out for a little bit, but just made a super simple music video. Don't expect too much. It's just me standing in a field.
Nah, it was good. I really enjoyed it. That looks sick.
Thank you, my man. Thank you. Yeah.
And, go check it out.
Hopefully coming out with more music, and I don't know. It's been super fun. I've been loving it, so going to try and keep doing it.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep watching. I'm sure the followers keep watching. And this is the new face of the Out of System crew, Adam, Micah, Ma'a. Micah, again, thank you for joining us. Joe, thank you for joining us all the way, both of you guys from Europe. And this has been another episode of If You Can't Handle the Heat, presented by Out of System.